The Escaping Habit by Joseph Orner. June of 1942 in the Mediterranean was glorious, and life aboard so far had been remarkably peaceful, considering the area we were working. Our job was to keep the sea lanes between Sicily and North Africa clear of mines for the convoys en route to Malta, Alexandria, and besieged Tobruk. I was on watch, manning a large cannon. My mind should have been on my job, but at sea, in war or peace, one's thoughts tend to wander towards the pleasures of life ashore. A day on the beach at Sidi Beach. It was at Sidi Beach that I had met Madeline. What a girl! She'd taken every last penny I had, as I had known she would, but I hadn't cared. I was a sailor on leave. I was brought sharply back to the present by the sound of "Action stations!" We were sweeping ahead of a 20-ship convoy bound for Tobruk, and we had been expecting attack by both aircraft and U-boats. Here it came. The escorts were circling the convoy, blazing away with their ak-ak. There were enemy aircraft all round us. Some of the ships had already been hit, and their crews were abandoning them. We started to pick up survivors. A heartbreaking job. Men badly burned, delirious with pain. Men spewing up oil, one with a shattered arm in convulsions from the oil he had swallowed. The fighting continued without respite. The enemy must have put every aircraft he possessed into the air for this one. We were all exhausted. The guns were too hot to touch. I knew for sure that I had got one aircraft. It was a Stuka, and as it was climbing away after its attack, I followed it, firing all the time. I could see my tracers stitching into it. Then it blew up, showering pieces down around us. An Italian torpedo bomber, coming in low, misjudged the swell, hit a wave with his wingtip and crashed. I was watching a destroyer manoeuvring to pick up the crew, when a tremendous explosion hurled me from the seat of my cannon, knocking me senseless. When I came to, it was to find complete devastation. We had taken one hit amidships and another in our aft magazine, and the whole ship was on fire. Some of our guns were still in action, but the injured were already being loaded into boats and rafts and cast off from the side. Enemy planes were strafing the crippled ship and the water round us. Lifeboats and rafts were being sunk as soon as they pulled away. The order came to abandon ship. I made my way forward and found some of my mates. Together we went over the side and towards one of the rafts. Luckily for us, we were no more than half a mile or so from the beach, but it was quite far enough. We reached the shore after about an hour, more dead than alive, and joined up with other survivors. There was nothing for us to do but muck in with the British troops defending Tobruk, but it was hardly an attractive prospect. Now, here I was, facing the Africa Corps on dry land, and I found I had no desire to meet them, socially or otherwise. Tobruk itself was a shambles, with fires everywhere, streets choked with rubble, the harbour strewn with wrecked ships, and there was no way out. It was simply a trap. Shells were exploding all around us. The air above was buzzing with shrapnel. Aircraft strafed us. I was wounded in the arm. Someone, I never knew who, put on a tourniquet to staunch the bleeding. Lenny, the farm boy, was lying next to me. He was hurt too. He was 6'4" and broad to match, yet as gentle as a lamb and very naive. He was only 19 and had been brought up in an orphanage. Nugget, who was only 5'5" and was so called because of his one gold tooth right in the front. Ace, the first-class card player. Harry the Horse, another farm boy. Scouse, the Liverpudlian, myself, known as the Saint. As shipmates, we had some great times together. Now we were in the thick of it, and we intended to stick together. The army were outnumbered and outgunned, and there was no chance of a relief column. After 4 days, Tobruk fell, and...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?